It's great to see all of you here today. I want to say hello to the campuses that just joined us. They've had their own services up to this point, and we're so glad that you guys have joined us for this great experience together today. We're in week number two of a two-part series, so this is the final installment, just on week number two of a series that we've called Pray First, and I'll tell you more about that in just a moment. But let me say hello to the campuses, and let me just say that I'm getting incredible reports from all of the locations. I mean, here we are in the middle of summer in July, and most of our campuses are beyond capacity in their attendance right here in the middle of summer. And I hear in Huntsville, you guys are growing in the middle of summer, and in Fultondale. And then we have several that are beyond capacity. They've been in overflow, like River Chase and Greystone and, of course, Auburn. They're always growing so strong down there in the Plains and Tuscaloosa and all of our campuses. We're so proud of every one of you guys and love you so much. And then it's always an honor to say hello to the inmates in the Alabama Department of Corrections. We're in 10 facilities. We have 10 Dream Team teams that have gone out on the road today and brought this service into the correctional facilities, and I've had the honor of being at many of them and want to say hello to you guys. Let me say it to you one more time. You're not a project to us. You are our church family, and we're honored to be there with you today and those watching online. Come on, Grantsville. Say hello to your church family. God bless you guys. So proud of you. And I got an email just yesterday from one of our deployed military who's deployed in Afghanistan. It said, "Pastor Chris, just want you to know we're all praying first here, and we're all huddled around the computer worshiping halfway around the world. So how about giving it up to our servicemen and women? You're incredible. You're our heroes. We love you so much." So next week, we're going to launch a brand new series that we'll have all the way throughout the month of August called Closer. And it's a series about worship, and it's going to take all of us to another dimension in worship. I mean, you're really going to like this one. It's going to challenge us, inform us. I've been studying on this series for months and months. I think you're really, really going to enjoy it. So next week, brand new series. And during that time, during the month of August, we'll have what we do twice a year every year, and that is 21 days of prayer, August 3rd through the 23rd, 21 days of prayer. And the reason why we do that is very simple, and that is because God is asking us to do things that are beyond human ability to accomplish. So like we're living a life, and we're living really with an assignment from heaven that is beyond human attainment. We have to have God's power in our lives to pull off what he's called us to do. Just this week, we had 3,100 pastors come to this campus, all of struggling churches, small churches, churches that just want to grow, that are needing some new resources, new templates to do ministry. And for three solid days, we trained them and invested in them. In fact, we scholarshiped a bunch of them because with their airfare and hotels and rental cars just to help them out. In fact, you were a part of that. Thank you so much for your investment in them. But even as I step back from that very successful week, I just think, God, we're going to need your help. This is not something that we can do in our own effort. And now we're embarking on one of the best weeks of the year, our Motion Student Conference. And come on, some of us have trouble just with three kids in our house. We're going to have 7,000 in an auditorium. That's a lot of junior hires, folks, everybody. Come on now. How many of y'all know we need a move of heaven at that event? And we want those kids not to just have a great time. We want them to really experience God in a great way. Amen, everybody. And it's just huge. And so I kind of feel that. I think you can feel that. But isn't it true that it's the same way for you? That all of us have an area of our life, maybe many areas of our life, where we have to have God's help to pull it off. We feel incapable of doing it under our own effort. And for a lot of us, we try and only come up empty. And what prayer is all about is getting us in touch with the supernatural. God never intended for you to live your life purely naturally. He always intended for you to live a supernatural life, a life that has his power. And prayer is that access point. It's that place where we touch heaven and heaven touches earth, and we need it in Jesus' name. And our theme verse we've been using throughout this series is in 1 Thessalonians. There's a challenge in the second verse. First verse just says, "Rejoice always." Verse 16, just a two-word verse. Verse 17 is just the next two words. Pray continually. Pray continually. We're going to unpack that. Give thanks in all circumstances. Because if you've ever wanted to know what God's will for your life is, this is it. That you would live a life that is in touch with heaven. You're thanking God. You're rejoicing. You're seeking God. You're praying. And you're going to give thanks in advance in all circumstances. This is God's will for you and for me to pray continually. So here at Highlands, we have a prayer rally cry that simply says we pray first. In every situation that we face, we're going to pray first. So when we wake up, we pray first. And then when we go to bed, we pray first before we go to bed. And then when we're headed out on the road, when we're pulling out of the driveway, we're going to, try with me, we're going to, yeah, we're going to pray. It's not hard. It's just two words, everybody. All right. We're going to pray first. Before we get that credit card out and give that to that person, we're going to. Yeah. Some of you, like the guys, chimed in on that one. Pray first, honey. You know, like just two words, not three, sir. All right. So, but yeah, we're just in every situation. What would it look like if we brought God into it by a simple, in many cases, just a one sentence prayer? God, I need you in this situation. Lord, before I have this appointment, I need your wisdom. God, as my kids walk out the door to school, God bless them. What if we brought God into every situation? The same verse in the New Living Translation just says, never stop praying. Well, how in the world are you going to do that? How do you stay in prayer the whole time? Well, that's not what it really means. It means that in every situation, I'm going to bring God into it. One of my favorite quotes is from a great revivalist out of England, a guy named Smith Wigglesworth. What a great last name. All right. And here's his quote. I never pray more than 20 minutes, but I never go more than 20 minutes without praying. What a great thought. That prayer is not this event in my quiet time in the morning. Prayer is not something we do as a token before a meal. I'm going to pray first in every situation. So several years ago, when I taught this for the first time, we had these little rubber bracelets made that were a whole lot more popular than I ever thought they would be, honestly. I mean, it literally went viral. They're everywhere. I would imagine there's probably more than 60,000 of these in circulation right now, and you are asking for more of them. So at the end of today's service, at all the exits, at every location, we have more of these, enough for each one of you to have one more. And if you have one already, give one away. And if you don't have one, to have one. And it's simply a constant reminder. I'm going to pray first in every situation. I'm pray first. People identify themselves to me by this way. I was at Lowe's this week buying bird seed. Don't judge. I was buying bird seed for my bird feeders outside. And I heard a guy hollering across the park. Hey, Pastor Chris. You're from Highlands. Yeah, so you know, he just identified himself with his pray first bracelet. And we'd love for you to have one. So they're available to you if you'd like that at the exits when you leave today. So what I wanted to do is help you pray. We're going to move into these 21 days of prayer. And unfortunately for a lot of people, it's for Christians, you know, it's something you're supposed to do. I find less than 10% that enjoy it. So it should be a discipline, but it shouldn't stay a discipline. And for a lot of us, prayer is one of those things that, man, I know, you're going to remind me and I'll do better. But wouldn't it be great if it's something you look forward to? Wouldn't it be great if it's something you actually knew how to do so well, and it's something that you enjoyed so much that you literally couldn't find enough time in the day to do it because you enjoy it so much? That's my challenge. That's my assignment, I believe, to help you. So last week, I taught you how to pray. I'm convinced all of us grew up with prayer models different from the scripture. So we don't really know how to pray. And so last week, we learned from the master himself, Jesus, in the Lord's Prayer, taking the seven elements of the Lord's Prayer as an outline for prayer. You need to watch that message if you missed last week. Today, I want to get a bit more practical and bring prayer into your everyday life by giving you four things to focus on that I'm convinced it's going to help. So here's the deal with today's message, and that is write it all down, try it. 7 days, apply the four principles that I want to teach you today to help us in lifestyle prayer. Here's the challenge from Jesus himself. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show them that they should say it out loud every campus, that they should always pray, always pray, always pray. How? We're going to talk about that today. Here's part of the rally cry. Jot it down if you're taking notes, and that is prayer needs to be our first response, not our last resort. It's literally going to be our first response. So we're not going to act first and then ask God to bail us out. For a lot of us, that's all prayer is a fire alarm, 911, help me, all right? Instead, before we act, we're going to pray first. It's going to be our first response, not our last resort. And there's a verse that I just was meditating on this week that I want to challenge you with. It's found in John. This is actually Jesus talking, and he uses this word. I've highlighted it for you. I just want you to stop on this word for a moment before we read the rest of the verse. But I want you to just think about this word, remain. Now, this is going to end up being the goal of today's message, that what I will give you will help you be a pray first and pray always kind of a person. And here's the challenge for the church, especially in the Deep South. And I want you to hear me clearly. For a lot of us, we all grew up in church, and so we learned kind of like Christianity has this Sunday place. And so we kind of check the spiritual box. We'll kind of ramp it up a little bit at Easter, always show up for Christmas. But the spiritual life has this place, and I really have a hard time getting that place into the rest of my places. I want you to know that authentic Christianity is when it does. That God never intended for you to be a Sunday Christian. He never intended for you to have a place where you kind of become spiritual and act kind of spiritual and get your worship and prayer in for the week. God wants us to live kind of a remain kind of a life. And Jesus looks to you and me and he says this to us. And it just this verse just ministered to me this week. Remain in me. I want to develop an everyday, every moment kind of relationship with you. I really don't care to be your Sunday God. But I want you to remain in me, and I'm going to remain in you. And here's the motivation behind it. That as a branch, if you're metaphorically a branch, no branch can bear fruit if you try to do it without me. It must remain connected to the vine. And you guys know that. If you cut a branch off, it can't live. It has to stay connected. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And some of you have tried, and you've noticed it's not working so well. And then metaphorically he says, I'm like a vine and you're like branches. And if you would just kind of turn this into an everyday, every moment kind of a relationship instead of just a Sunday thing, if a man remains in me and I in him, watch this, he will bear much fruit. So now you're going to notice like the business actually works better. Parenting works better. The marriage works better. I mean, everything you do all of a sudden takes on a new dynamic, a new dimension when you become a remaining kind of a Christian, the one that takes this into everyday life. But apart from me, try it. You're going to find out you're not able to accomplish very much. And so how do we do that? I'm going to give you four principles today in prayer that have literally revolutionized my prayer life, and I want to pass them off to you, and I hope the same happens. I've called this message a lifestyle, every day, a remaining, a lifestyle of prayer. Here's the first one, and that is what I call the priority of prayer, the priority. Well, all of us need to determine what our priorities are. Those are the things that we're going to put first in our life, and we're offering this thought to you, and that is to pray first. The first is pretty important. Even in scripture, all throughout, whatever you did first did two things. It first communicates priority to those that you do that first thing to or for, and therefore it gets their attention. But the second thing that first things do is they set the precedent for the rest. The way I like to say it is the first has the power to bless the rest. So whatever you do first, it really is more significant than just doing it any other place. For instance, prayer works all the time, and I'm encouraging you to try it throughout the day. But there's something about the first words out of your mouth as you roll out of bed saying, Lord, I give you this day, and today I want to honor you and serve you. I mean, just those two sentences starting off, I'm telling you, it gets the attention of God, and it sets the precedent for the rest. Which, by the way, is why the early church moved the worship experience from the last day of the week, Sabbath, to the first day of the week, Sunday. One of the two reasons. One was because Jesus was resurrected on the Sunday, but the second was to have this experience to set the precedent for the rest. It's the first day of the week to say, God, before anything else, I'm going to worship you so that as I work and go to school and do all that I do, I'm saying that I couldn't have done it without you. I'm setting the precedent. And the first has the power to bless the rest. So what would it look like if we just thought about our first things and honored them before the Lord? That's why I'm convinced, and I think sometimes pastors teach this the wrong way, I think sometimes for their own, for the wrong motivation, the principle of the tithe. It's not about as much about the amount that it is the order. When we give to God, we're not financing a church. We're communicating something to God that before anything else, you have first place in my life. And there's something powerful about that. Now I want you to think about it as it relates to prayer. I want you to think about putting prayer in a priority position in your life. So it's like this. So, oh, Daddy, I don't feel so well. So before you go to the medicine cabinet, I'm not saying don't go. In fact, I'm encouraging you to go ahead and try it. But say, you know what? Son, hang on. But let's pray real quick. And you just, all throughout your life, we're going to pray first. We're going to communicate that God, before we look to anything else as our resource, we first look to you. Watch this in Daniel. I love Daniel's prayer life. It says, Daniel, when he learned that there'd been a decree that had gone out published, and the decree was that you could not worship God, you could only worship the king, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows were open toward Jerusalem, and three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God. Now watch the last phrase, just as he had always done before. In other words, he had developed a habit that this time belongs to you. So here's the application for you. And that is, make an appointment with God and keep it. Like if you use your smartphone and or calendars and you have appointments, I challenge you this week to put God on your calendar. And then when someone says, hey, can you come have coffee? Oh, I can't then, I have an appointment. You don't have to tell them what it is, but make an appointment with God and keep it. And I would encourage you just in the priority of prayer, put it in your life, make that appointment, and keep it. Watch what happens. I'm going to tell you, you're going to experience this week, if you try my 7-day challenge, all right? You're going to see that all of a sudden, meaning is being brought to every part of your life. Here's the second thing. I'm trying to help you just be a lifestyle, remaining, working into everyday life kind of a Christian. That is the place of prayer, Because the Bible talks about that Jesus prayed in certain places. He had a prayer place. If you're not a Christian, you won't understand this term. Christians, you know what this means. But some Christians will say, my prayer closet. Well, they're not actually talking about a closet necessarily. They don't go get in the closet. They're saying that I have a place where I pray. My wife's case, it actually is the closet, by the way. I need space. I need windows and music. I like loud music. I play worship loud. I've got a giant map of Alabama. I want to see Hoover in Jesus' name. God touch Mountain Brook. I like all that. Tammy's in the closet. Shoes everywhere. No clothes. Shoes everywhere. She always needs another pair of shoes. And she sits on the floor. I wake up sometimes and I'll see the light coming out from underneath the closet. And Tammy's in there with a little tissue and she's dabbed. She's praying. She's doing this. I mean, just all the time. I said, baby, what's the matter? Oh, nothing. I'm just happy. I'm like, I don't get that. But anyway, that's her. That's her deal. Her prayer closet is actually a closet. But Jesus, watch this. I love this. Very early in the morning, there's the priority thing right there. While it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and he went off to a solitary place. One translation says a certain place where he prayed. Most scholars believe that he didn't just pray that night before he went to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, that was his prayer place. And it wasn't, by the way, because it was a garden, perhaps. It wasn't just because it was just beautiful and had flowers and olive trees. I've actually been to the Garden of Gethsemane, and it's because there's a vantage point of Jerusalem that is unbelievable. Like you can see the whole city. And I can only imagine Jesus getting up early in the morning and going and weaving in between those olive trees and looking at the city that he loved. He had a place. Do you have a place? I want to encourage you to find a place. And here's the problem with this generation. And that is what they call the third place. The third place is you have your home life, and then you have whatever you do outside of the house, work and school. But they say in this generation that people have a third place, and it's your virtual place. It's your Facebook place. It's your internet place. It's this place where you're living that you're not, but you're living. And that place has become all-consuming. In fact, for some of us, this point, here's your point on this one. Go to the place of prayer before you go to that place. For too many of us, we're just living in that place. And we need to live in the place of prayer. In fact, for me, my personal discipline, I'm just going to share you, if my computer is on, I don't end up in the prayer place. My curiosity can't take it. I've got to check and see what people are saying, see if I have any emails. So my little discipline is I never go to that place before I've been to the prayer place. I can't even turn it on. And I want to challenge you in that you need a place. For some of you, it's going to be walking in the neighborhood. Others of you, it may be in a closet. For some of you, it's going to be in a certain room. For some of you, it's not even a physical place as much as a place that you allow your heart and your mind to go. You need to have the place of prayer if you're going to make this stuff work every day. Here's the third one, and that is the plan of prayer. The plan of prayer. And what I mean by that, anytime you're going to have a meaningful relationship, you need to go into that relationship with a plan, whether you do the plan or not. You don't pull out of the driveway and say, all right, honey, where you want to go? You know, it's date night. Listen, no. It's better if there are some plans. And the same is true with prayer. I want to encourage you to go into your prayer place, like gather some prayer guides. We offer several. You can go on our website and we offer several like prayer guides, the Lord's Prayer, the Tabernacle Prayer. We give you warfare prayers. We just give you scriptures you can quote. We've got all kind of prayer tools for you to use. And when I go, I have two lists that are there. I have this list of the people that I pray for. I've actually typed it all out. So I go through some of our overseers and elders and people that I'm under. And then I pray for the people that I'm over, like, so for my family and then all of the, you know, some of the staff. And I have their names there. So I just like to hold the paper and I just kind of pace around. My music's playing. But I have the plan. And about 30% of the time I never go there, but it was there. That's what I'm trying to encourage you in. I have to have a little devotional that I use, which, by the way, I've never shared. I've been using it for more than 20 years. It's a little scripture reading devotional. So I'll read scripture, then I have a way, or I pray these scriptures. I'm going to share that for the first time during the 21 days and give this away as a resource and get that to you. I have another page that is just blank. And I've been ready because I get the best ideas while I'm praying. I mean, I'll lose them. So I'll go there and jot that down. I'll think of series. I'll think of you. I just think of stuff. It's amazing what happens. But I want to encourage you to go into the whole thing with some resources and a plan. And just trust me. Please trust me on this, okay? It works. Like when you bring this much meaning to your time with God, here's going to be the dynamic and you watch what happens. It used to be where, oh, okay, here we go. Boy, I'm kind of glad that's over. You know, I kind of can check that off the list. You're not even halfway done and your time's up and you've got to go. And you're going to think, I need 10 more minutes. It'll change if you'll incorporate these dynamics. Are y'all getting something out of this yesterday? Yeah, I'm telling you it works. All right, so here's Jesus. He had a plan. Luke chapter 11, once Jesus was in, there it says it, in that certain place, praying. And when he finished, his disciples came and said, Lord, teach us to pray. So obviously they were peeking. They were looking behind the trees and watching him pray. And obviously Jesus, by the way, was praying out loud because they were hearing what he was doing and they wanted to know how to do that. So they said, hey, John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. Teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, watch this, this is how. And he gave that outline, and that's what I taught last week. Go into it with a plan. And here's the best one of the day. You ready for this one? This one has the power to change everything about your Christian life. So I just want to get you ready. And that is the persons of prayer. The persons. And you've noticed I've capitalized the P, persons. Because I'm talking about here God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. It's so important now that I'm in this place of prayer that prayer does not become my plan and my place and my list and my songs. It's all about connecting relationally with God. And you ready for this? You ready for this? Each one of the persons of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, you relate to them in a different way. And I bet scores of you have never been taught that they each carry different personalities and you relate to them in a different way. And when you relate to him in those ways, again, it brings meaning to the relationship because I understand and get you. Here's what I'm convinced of. And I could be wrong, but I'm convinced that scores of people, the reason why your relationship with God isn't what you know it should be is purely because your view of God is not the right view. Let me say it this way. Your view of God determines the kind of relationship you're having with God. How you see him determines what kind of relationship you're having with him. And for a lot of us, we didn't grow up with the biblical definitions of God. We grew up with religious ones. For me, growing up, I grew up in a, you know, I've never missed a Sunday church in my life, ever. Like, we went to church, but I kind of went to a church where it was hellfire and damnation. I mean, it was like my pastor's finger was about 9 feet long, and he was always pointing right at me, you know, and he was always a little mad, and he preached hard, and so I kind of grew up thinking God was always mad. I really did, and even when they pray, it was always just, you know, bowing low and like, oh, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me today. Just please. I'm just crawling into your presence, just begging. You know, that's kind of my view. So of course, one of the famous movies, you know, when I was growing up was Wizard of Oz, The Wizard of Oz. And I still have nightmares about that movie. I do. I really do. We represent the lollipop. Those guys freaked me out, you know. The Lollipop Guild of the Devil. And so anyway... And those flying monkeys. Come on, don't lie to me and tell me you don't dream about those monkeys every once in a while. They're, anyway, and so I had this view of God. Of course, there's that moment where you have this green-faced Oz with fire and smoke. What do you want? And Sarah, I just want to go to Kansas. That's all. And then he's like, all right, well, then go prove your worth to me by, you know, go get the broom. Go perform in front of me. And I grew up with this. You know, God will give me stuff, but I'm going to have to be a little afraid of him and come and shaking and then really not even get it there. I'm going to have to go perform in some kind of way in order to get his favor in my life. It's incorrect. I don't know if that you relate to that at all. But I'm telling you, your view of God determines your relationship with God. So then it becomes imperative. If prayer is going to be something you enjoy, that you enjoy spending time with him because you see him the way he really is. And so it is my honor today to introduce you to the Godhead as the Bible describes. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In a way, hopefully, where you go, oh, I'd love to spend my whole day with them if that's what they're like. One of the best descriptions of the Godhead, the Trinity, is in a benediction. A benediction is either a closing of a book or a closing of a service. It's a closing prayer is really what a benediction is. Before the Apostle Paul closed out his letter to the Corinthians, he said this, may the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, may the extravagant love of God the Father and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. And he introduces us in order, and with personality, the Godhead. I want you to jot this down if you're taking notes. He mentioned first the amazing grace of Jesus, the amazing grace. And right off the bat, he says, the first personality, the first dimension of prayer that you need to understand is you need to understand who Jesus is. So let me introduce Jesus to you. Jesus is the one who's carrying your prayers to God. That's why we pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Say, Chris, what do you mean by that? Jesus is the mediator, the Bible says, between God and man. So here we are, God and man, and he's there connecting us. So here's what it would look like, literally. In fact, Hebrews says, right now Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, and he's interceding on your behalf. So in other words, Jesus is sitting there talking to the Father, God, about you. And here's how the conversation is going. Oh, Lord, Chris is in trouble. I just talked to him. And he's really in a mess. And Dad, it's hard because I was there. I experienced that. It's really difficult. So I'm over here going, Jesus, I need some help. I'm in trouble today. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. And Jesus goes, okay, hang on right there, Chris. I got it. And he's carrying that prayer. Dad, I was tempted with that. And that's tough. And I've had that pain. I felt that rejection. I went through that too. It's excruciating. He's carrying it. I don't know about you, but just understanding that changes everything in my relationship with Jesus. And he so desperately wanted you and God to be connected that he went paid for every sin you ever have committed and ever will commit so that you could have this. He's the connector. He's just like, it's like the person in junior high who was trying to get the two that liked each other, but they didn't want to say they liked each other. So like, go ask him if he likes me. Do you like her? Because he likes you. And he's just mediating the relationship with the goal of getting you together. It just changes everything. It's the amazing grace, the cross of Jesus. I want to show it to you in scripture. Look at this. For we do not have a high priest. A priest, that's the mediator between the two, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. So we don't have one that going, are you serious? Are you here again with that? No, you have to get your act together. It's the third time, 3 weeks in a row you've come with that junk. I don't think so. No. We don't have one who's unable to sympathize with our weakness. We have one who has been tempted in every way. And by the way, the word tempted there doesn't mean just temptation. In fact, one translation says he was touched with the feeling of our infirmity. In other words, every place you hurt and every place you were ever tempted, he went through it. Jesus went through it on earth. That's why he needed to live 33 years on earth. If he just was to come die on the cross, then he should have been born and died right away. No, he needed 33 years to experience everything you would ever experience, so that every time you come, he goes, yeah, I get it. I experienced that too. He knows, he cares. He knows, he cares, because he personally experienced it. It just changes my prayer time when I understand him this way. Except the only difference between us and him is he did it without sin, it goes on to say. So let us approach the throne of grace. The amazing grace of Jesus. First connection point, with confidence, so that we can receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Oh, Chris, that's what he's wanting to do? Yes. What's my role? 2 Corinthians 12. His grace is sufficient for you, and his power is made perfect in weakness. So it's when I come to him and say, Jesus, I did it again. And obviously, I'm not going to be able to do this without your help and power. That's all I needed to hear, Chris. Let me go take that to the Father. Hang on. He just needs you to come in realizing that you can't live another day without him. Boy, this is about 87% better preaching than you're amening right now. That is good stuff right there. I don't care. The amazing grace of Jesus there. All right. Are you with me? Okay, so now it is my honor to introduce to you the second dimension of prayer, the personality of prayer, the persons of prayer. And that is, write it down, the extravagant love of God the Father. The real tragedy for a lot of people in their Christian life is your earthly father experiences are polluting your heavenly father experience. So like, I actually met a person the other day that I was introducing this concept to. And they said, I cannot call God that because I can't separate the two. When I think Father, I think pain, rejection, I don't like the man. And I told them, I said, that's his favorite name. We're going to have to get healed from that. No. They said this. I'd rather just call him King and Master and Lord. That just works better for me. And I said, you can't do that because he didn't want to just be. He is a King. He is a Master. He is a Lord. But his favorite term to be called by you is Father. And even the Apostle Paul in Ephesians starts his prayer in chapter 3. This is actually a prayer. If you want to go read a prayer, there aren't that many of them in Scripture. The actual transcript of a prayer, this is a prayer in Scripture where Paul says, he starts it this way. For this reason, I kneel before the Father. Now, let me explain that to you. Because in the Jewish culture, you actually walked into the room where your daddy was. And you knelt before him. And what he did was he put his hands on you and blessed you and then embraced you. And so Jewish people understood that context. For some of you, that is so foreign as you think about some of your male relationships that you grew up with. You need to be healed of that in Jesus' name. And you need to relate to God like a daddy who wants you to come in love and honor and respect. And he wants to put his arms around you and bless you. And it just changes everything about my language I use when I pray. When I approach Jesus because he's been there, And I approach God the Father just because he is so in love with me. I have the fortune of having a great father. A father who every day of my life told me he loved me. Every day of my life he kissed me. Every day of my life. And just cared for me. And I understand it and I get it. And I want this for you so desperately. And so let me tell you who the Father really is. He's not green-faced, smoking loud. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounds in love. He does not accuse, nor does he harbor anger. Instead, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. So he doesn't even give you what you actually should have gotten. Whew, amen to that. That's like one of my favorite verses in the Bible. He does not treat me like I should be treated. Thank goodness. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who come down and kneel in respect and honor and love him. Not fear. The word fear there is the same word that's used for worship. Not afraid. It doesn't mean afraid. It means honor, love, adore. As far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us. It goes on. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. So everything I ask God for when I pray, I think he already wants to give it to me. I refuse to beg in prayer because I'm approaching a father who delights to give good things to his children. You've got to change your view of God if you're going to have a great relationship with God. Amen, everybody? Are you getting it? Okay. And here's the last one. And the role's completely different, and this one may be one of the coolest. You ready for this? Because the last relationship was the Holy Spirit. And if there's anyone of the Godhead that we really, like, we don't relate to. I mean, like, we got the movies about Jesus. We know what he did. And God, I mean, we understand that, the Father. What's up with this ghost, this Holy Ghost? And is it, you know, what? I don't know about that one. Can I just have two parts? You know, like, you're not sure you really want to relate. And what is the role of the Holy Spirit? You ready for this? You ready for this? This is so cool. When the prayer meeting's over, he goes with you. So he's the only one who you really don't talk to and relate to in prayer alone. So when the prayer meeting's over, okay, Father, thank you so much. It's Jesus, thank you for carrying that. Thank you. The Holy Spirit says, all right, let's go live life. And his name, check this out, listen. His actual name in scripture, the Greek word is parakletos. And it literally translates the one who's called be by your side always, forever, right there. So he goes out of the prayer meeting with you and he's there to counsel you, work with you, speak with you, give you those little checks in your heart where you're like getting ready to do something. He goes, ah, like, oh, okay, I hear you. That's the Holy Spirit. All righty, ready? And so that's why the prayer is, you need to understand the grace of Jesus. Can't go anywhere till you go to the cross and understand that he paid for it all and that he carries everything for you to God the Father. And then when you get to the Father, he's not a green-faced monster with smoke and fire. No, he wants you to come and sit in his lap. He wants you to get close. And then you need to know, write it down and we'll pray, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. So I pray for you, Church of the Highlands, every location, to every person watching around the world, may the amazing grace of Jesus and the extravagant love of God the Father and the intimate friendship be with you all. And the church said a good amen. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Be very still and quiet, please, just for a moment. Don't put your things away now. Just hold it for a second. I'll give you a moment, just a moment to do that, all right? Let's make some decisions in prayer. Father, I pray for every person here as we move into a season of getting closer to you. As we have 21 days of prayer, God, take the church to new dimensions. God, every one of us have to deal with this aspect of the priority. We've got to get you into the first things of our life. God, help us find a place. God, train us, give us a plan. But more importantly, let us see you as you really are. God, thank you. Thank you for the persons of prayer, the personality, the relationship that we have with you. That's the real goal. With every head bowed, every eye closed across every auditorium, I wonder if there might be somebody here today who'd say, Pastor Chris, I'm not close to God. Well, you need the first dimension. You need the amazing grace of Jesus. Let me say it this way. If you're still carrying your own guilt, so you don't feel free, you feel condemned. You're carrying your guilt. You're carrying your shame. Well, that means Jesus hasn't taken it from you. There's no reason for you to leave this service carrying your own guilt and shame. You need to experience the amazing grace of Jesus. And you can do that with one heartfelt prayer where you invite him to be the Lord of your life. At every one of our locations, if you're there saying, Chris, I want to be free from this guilt, this shame. I want to be in a relationship with Jesus. For some of you, it's a first-time decision. Others of you, it's coming back to God. You used to be close, but you know, be honest, you've walked away from God. One heartfelt prayer. You want to pray it? That you pray this with me right there in your seat. Say, Jesus, thank you for going to the cross. Thank you for paying for what I should have done, what I should have paid for. Today, I receive what you did. And I make you the Lord of my life. Now talk to God the Father. Say, Father, thank you for sending your son so that I could be in relationship with you. And I'm making a decision today. Come on, tell him this. I'm going to get close to you. I want to know you. Thank you for forgiving me, changing me, living in me. With all of my heart, I'm going to live for you. At every location, I'm not going to have you stand up, and I'm not going to have you come to the front. But you say, Pastor Chris, I sat here in this chair and I just prayed that prayer. I want to pray with you before we go. Every location, you say, Chris, I just prayed that prayer with you. Boldly slip your hand up and say, that was me. I did. Yes, yes, yes. Just leave it up. Come on. All over this room. All over this room. God bless you today. God bless you today. God bless you today. God bless you today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Good job, man. Thank you. I just prayed that prayer. I just prayed that prayer. It's awesome. And so, Father, for the dozens and dozens and dozens of hands that were lifted, God, let them never be the same in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Let them know that their sins are forgiven and they've really taken the first step in the most exciting journey they'll ever take. Bless them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Church, join me in saying congratulations to about 50 people who just made the best decision of their life. Come on, really, just, it's awesome.